from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've got high school football coming back. And, of course, we do a bang-up job here on KDKA with high school football. But it's not just high school football. We got college football tomorrow. City Limits. College football is back tomorrow, but we looked at the schedule. There's only one game that matters, right?
Yeah, it's the Florida State game in Dublin.
Right. But anyway, joining us now is Carlo Zofko, who is a football aficionado, all things expert on all things football. Is that how we can introduce you, Carlo?
That's a great introduction. I would say certainly expert on all things Whipple High School football.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you worked for Pat Narduzzi and company down at Pitt, so you have a pretty good feel for what's going on in college football. So we'll start there, actually, because next week.
Yep.
Next week, you've got Penn State, West Virginia. You've got Pitt playing Kent State. I mean, tomorrow you've got Florida State going as college football is back. I mean, just in the time even when you worked in college football till now, man, things have changed incredibly, haven't they? Like, what the NIL and transfer portal stuff obviously have been game changers. But what are some of the other things that are just, you know, that make college football look a lot different than maybe we remember from even 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of administration. You know, they're looking for their ROI, right? Their return on investment. So a lot of these regional rivalries are kind of dead a little bit. It's good to see Penn State playing West Virginia, and obviously West Virginia playing Pitt again. But, you know, really next year is when you're going to see major, major changes. These changes right now are big, but next year is going to be massive because the schools can now directly pay the players next year. They have millions of dollars in their pools. So next year, I think you're going to see a more so salary cap NFL type of college football, which I think could be good. It'll definitely put at least a slow pause on the tampering and the poaching. But, you know, it's not going to stop it. But right now, I think that's the problem with college football is everything's so transient. You know, you're going to take 20 kids from the transfer portal every year, most of which are being quarterbacks or starting players. So, you know, fans don't grow with the player. You know, there's no more freshman All-Americans anymore. If a kid's a freshman All-American, he's hitting the portal and getting a big a big bag, as they say. You know, and, hey, good for those kids. But, you know, when you have a freshman All-American, it's also cool to be like, hey, we got three more years of this kid. So it's for the better, but the old traditional stuff, that's going away a little bit, somewhat.
You've seen, obviously, Pat Narduzzi. You worked for him. You know him very well. You know, at the start of this, it was a little bit of kicking and screaming, but he seems to have been able to adapt and accept sort of the way things are now. Have you seen him sort of make that transfer? It's sometimes hard for some of these old school guys to do that.
Yep, and he absolutely adapted, and you know, you have to credit him for it. Was it a little bit slower than what I personally would have liked? Absolutely, and that may be why they won three games last year. And you know, Pat Narduzzi will never make the same mistake twice. I can guarantee you that. So guess what? He made a lot of changes this season. He brought in a quarterback from Alabama to compete with Nate Yarnell. So You know, he likes where he's at heading into this year. I like where Pitt's at heading into this year. But, you know, last year they had Phil Dracovic and Christian Veyer. You know, they were freebies on the NIL front. And guess what? Neither of them were really that great. You know, and that's probably being kind, Paul. They won three games. You know, I look at Baylor. Okay, this is Baylor now. They brought in a quarterback, the MAC MVP last year of the conference. MAC conference MVP, Daquan Finn. $1.5 million to get that kid down there, right? So that's the kind of money you're dealing with. That's a MAC MVP, Paul. Imagine what a Power 5 quarterback cost, you know? So,
yeah,
so that's
really
what college football is now.
Well,
go
ahead.
Well, did you see Baylor coaches are wearing shirts at their practices now saying, "We pay players." It's real big in Baylor, green and yellow. We pay players. You know, that's what it is now. For better or worse.
I got a kick out of the fact that Oklahoma State actually now has, what do they call it, a QR code on the back of their helmets so you can donate to their NIL coalition. How about that?
You know what? I love Mike Gundy. He's an old school guy as well. He pretty much, 2 days prior to that, he told all the agents, "Quit calling me. We ain't paying anybody from now on for the rest of the season. Call me in December. Quit calling me." And then 2 days later, he puts a QR code on the helmet pretty much saying, "Hey, players, you want paid? Make a play and have the fans donate to you. How about that? Quit having the agents call me."
Yeah, I know, really. I think that's the biggest thing is, I know there were some people who took exception to that, but I actually don't have a problem with a coach saying, "Hey, for the next 3 months, we're worrying about football. We'll worry about your next deal for next year in December."
Yeah, Paul, so a lot of people, you know, it's kind of a gray area. They don't like talking about it. These coaches are getting calls, you know, weekly from these agents. There's 85 scholarship players, you know, on a roster, especially at these bigger schools. All those kids have agents. That's 85 agents to deal with, and they all want to talk to the head coach or the GM. That's why all these college football teams now are hiring GMs like the NFL. That's pretty much, "Hey, NIL agents, call these guys. You know, I got enough to deal with. I don't need to be brokering deals 2 weeks before the season, you know."
Right,
so,
right.
So I get where Gundy's coming from there.
I kind of laughed about that, though, the fact that they're hiring general managers for college football, but it makes sense. I mean, everything.
And they're paying them handsomely. And they're paying them handsomely.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe that's your next career as the GM of a college football team.
Well, you know, I was texting some people. I said, "Oh, maybe I got out of the industry, you know, a year too early."
Right. I mean, it seems like so with all of that, but also, you know, tomorrow SMU plays. You know, I guess we have to have. I guess we have to have some, you know, passing interest in it, seeing as they're now an ACC team.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's a good thing. I think the more Power Four schools, the better. You know, the more we can bring up programs, it's better for college football. College football, in my opinion, is the greatest sport in the world. And if we could figure it out, you know, we could be like the European soccer leagues and all that, where the fans are invested in every single game, every single moment. I think college football is in a unique situation, and I hope that they can capitalize on it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it's going to be one of those things where it's a year of just getting adjusted, isn't it? I think, in fact, doesn't Cal play here at Pitt? I think they do.
Yes, they're coming over. Yep.
Cal,
oh, yeah, long
flight. Cal versus Pitt, ACC game, right?
Well, When you think of the Atlantic Coast, I certainly think of Cal football and Pitt football.
Well, the funny thing was, I saw on social media on Twitter, someone tweeted, ACC classic game, and it was the Cal Stanford, the one where the guy runs on the
the band is on the field.
The band runs on the field. That classic game. It was like ACC classic. Yep. ACC classic game. You know, classic ACC football. And it was that Cal Stanford thing. But, you know, another thing that happened with Pitt, Pat Narduzzi went out and hired a completely different kind of offensive coordinator than he's probably had, right? I mean, this is going to be very interesting to watch Pitt play football.
Yeah, and, you know, it kind of goes back to what I said. You know, Pat Narduzzi's not going to make the same mistake. He hired Frank Cignetti. You know, he wanted to run the rock, control the ground game, and play defense. And, you know, they seen what happened. That 2022 year when, you know, Pitt was rated in the top 25, won the Sun Bowl, you know, that should have been an ACC championship year as well, in my opinion. And I was on staff that year. We won 9 games, but I think Pat kind of seen the writing on the wall, like, hey, it's not a run and play defense college football anymore. It's not the league anymore. You have to adapt. And you need to score points. You know, if Pitt in 2022 would have put up 30 points a game, 35 a game, which isn't crazy in college, it's very average and pedestrian. If they would have done that, they would have had 11 wins. So at least. So I think he's making an adjustment. You know, sometimes you have to give credit where credit's due. And you know, I'm giving Pat credit there. I think Cade Bell's going to be good. I hope there's not too big of growing pains. But, you know, I hear this offense is very explosive, and, you know, don't be surprised to see some one-play drives. You know, one play, 75 yards and a touchdown. You didn't see that much with Frank Cignetti. We're looking forward to seeing that for Pitt here.
I was talking to a couple of people who were on the staff, and they were joking that there could be some times they have to turn off Pat Narduzzi's headsets on offense because they're going to be doing things that make him very uncomfortable at times.
You know, my favorite thing that probably made Pat uncomfortable, you know, I wasn't on the headsets, but, you know, I can see some body language. If you remember the ACC championship year, Mark Whipple was 4th and 5, I believe, against Clemson. And Whipple called a deep post. And, you know, Pat just probably wasn't. But, you know, he kept his mouth shut. He let his OC make the call. But I just looked at him. You could just tell there was a big pit in his stomach. And then I think it was KC or Mack caught the touchdown. It kind of broke open the game. You know, Kenny Pickett yells to the sideline, let's bleep and go. That was a moment of that 21 year. And sometimes you got to just let the OC – call his offense, take some shots when he feels it, and, you know, they have a gut feeling too. So I think that's going to be – I think it's going to be good. Cade Bell's going to be really good in that regard.
Well, you helped put together these recruiting classes for these guys that are now sophomores and juniors and, you know, the guys that are going to start playing. I thought it was kind of funny. I said to Pat Narduzzi, I had him on last week, and I said, you guys lost a number of high-profile players on defense. How do you replace them? And he said, well, you know, all those high-profile players led us to 3 wins, which was not a not-so-subtle shot at them, if you know what I mean.
No, not-so-subtle shot at all, right.
There are some, you know, good young guys, right, on that side of the ball that are going to be that obviously you're very familiar with, right?
Yeah, on defense, you know, nobody kind of gives this guy credit, and I'm not sure why, but Ryan Manilak, the linebacker coach, he has just been recruiting dudes into his room. When he first got hired in 2021, you know, we had about 4 linebackers that could play in the game. Right now, through Ryan Manilak's recruiting, and they're all young kids too, and he lost a couple in the portal, you know, they have probably 7 or 8 linebackers that can go into the game and make some plays. The guy doesn't miss on his prospects. He zeroes in on his top guys. And let me tell you, he got a great eye for it. And another one, really a couple other guys are Corey Sanders and Archie Collins. that defensive backfield, especially the safeties, are loaded. The quarterbacks, you know, they had a couple drafted in the last couple years, so they got to restock a little. But that safety group and that linebacker group, really, really good. I'm very excited to see the young guys this year.
Well, just a couple more minutes with Carlo. Carlo, your wheelhouse as well as Whippeal High School football. I saw you did some podcasts. Who run down reasonably quick your six, two favorites in each class that we should watch?
Two favorites in each class, absolutely. I love this. Let's start small. Single A, I love Fort Cherry. Matt Sigg, the super sophomore last year, is back for his junior year. He was, all world last year for Fort Cherry, led them to a Whippeal championship. It's going to be them, and it's going to be the Clarendon Bears. The Bears are back, baby. They got two guys, the running back Jasir Jones and the wide receiver Zamir Correll. Those are two Division I talents. I'm expecting Fort Cherry and Clarendon in single A this year. Single A got some dudes. You know, I know it's a small classification, but sometimes when you got the best players, they put up insane stats, and that's what we got this year. In 2A, I love Seton LaSalle, and I love South Park. South Park, and they're two polar opposites, Paul. South Park has all this beef up front, two Division I offensive tackles, guards and centers that are each 6 foot, 250 plus. So, a lot of beef up front, and Eric Doerue, the running back, going to rush for close to 1,800 yards this year. He's a Division I kid, probably Division I FCS like Duquesne and them. But then Seton LaSalle has my favorite player in the entire Whippeal, Khalil Taylor. He's a sophomore this year. Seton LaSalle started really bad last year, and then they realized, hey, this freshman we got's a dude. He recently got rated a top 50 player nationally in his class, Paul. Seton LaSalle, Khalil Smith, they're my champion in 2A, preseason champ at least. In 3A, I love Central Valley. Mark Lyons, their head coach, he's a legend right now. Love Central Valley, and I love the Beaver Bobcats. Sometimes these smaller communities, Paul, the stars align. The stars are aligning for the Beaver Bobcats. I'm expecting them to have a major, major year. So those are my two favorites in 3A. In 4A, now we're starting to get to the big boys. Aliquippa might be the favorite in 6A. They are loaded up front. They're loaded in the defensive backfield. They have a quarterback this year in Marquise Council, who's going to be a Division I kid. He's a junior. And, of course, they have the state player of the year, Tyke Hayes, who's back for his senior year. He needs about a little over 3,000 yards to break Russell Shell's all-time PA record. If they go to the state championship, it's not out of the question, but he's going to need to have a big year to do it. But it's not out of the question. He's going to rush for at least 2,000. That's Tyke Hayes, the Penn State recruit. In 5A, 5A, Peters Township returns just about everybody. They have the best pass rushers in the WPIAL. Mickey Vaccarello is going to Stanford. He's a senior. And Reston Lehman, he's a junior coming off the other edge. He's going to be a Power 4 football recruit. I would think like the Pitt, Penn State's, West Virginia's will be after him. They're my favorite. Their quarterback is the Sheriff, Nolan DeLucia. He's a junior, Paul, so he's going to be back again next year. He's about 6'4", big arm. He already has a couple FBS offers. Woodland Hills is my number two team. Scoop Smith is electrifying. He's a junior receiver. Now, he ran a 4.40 at West Virginia this summer. He runs a 10-400 meter, easily the fastest player in the Whippeal. You get him the ball in space, he's going to make some plays. And their junior quarterback, Cam Walters, is a Division I talent as well. So I think that duo, Walters and Scoop Smith, will light up defenses all year long. And then the big boys in 6A, it was the same 5 years ago. It's going to be the same in the next 5 years. It's going to be North Allegheny and Central Catholic. I'm going to give Central the slight favorite lead right now. Ryan Lehmeyer's in year two. Art Walker, kind of had a couple tricks up his sleeve in the championship game. Beat Central last year. I think Central goes on a revenge tour. They're littered with Power 5 recruits, especially at that linebacker position. I think Bradley Gompers, the Duke commit, is their best player. Expect to see a lot of him on offense at kind of a receiving tight end role and then outside linebacker. And then North Allegheny, never count out NA. They are loaded in the trenches. They'll be able to run the rock this year.
Carlo, great stuff. Thank you so much for jumping on. And we will look forward to your weekly commentary.
I'll be on 100.1 after the game tonight, really before the games as well, but with Paul Alexander, 9 to 11.
Right, I was just going to get to that. You're back to do our broadcast on KDK, and so you'll hear Carlo in the pregame and then wrapping it up in the postgame, which is always a lot of fun.
Oh, so. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, brother. That is Carlo Zofko.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.